just what is in that debt ceiling deal? From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. The Senate last night ended the drama over the debt ceiling. Senators voted 63-36 to approve a deal between President Biden and House Speaker Kevin McCarthy to suspend the debt ceiling for 2 years. In return, the president agreed to certain spending limits. So where will those be felt? Marketplace's Nova Sappho is here to fill us in. Hi, Nova.
Good morning.
The Congressional Budget Office says this agreement will reduce the budget deficit by $1.5 trillion over 10 years. Where will those savings come from?
So the most accurate answer to that question, Sabri, is we'll have to wait and see, because lawmakers now have to get to work on implementing the cuts that were broadly outlined in the debt ceiling deal, and they'll do that through the budget crafting process. But we know some basics. We know entitlement programs won't be cut, so Social Security, Medicare, et cetera, or veterans benefits, and the military is actually getting more funding. That leaves what are called discretionary programs, which is really the rest of the federal government. The IRS, which got $80 billion to improve tax collection, will have to give some of that money back. Some unspent COVID relief money will be reappropriated to plug budget holes, about $30 billion worth there, though that's less than Republicans had initially sought. And some low-income Americans in their 50s will be affected by new work requirements for food assistance.
What about student loans? How are student loan borrowers affected?
Well, they're affected because repayments are going to start back up. The deal includes a provision that the Biden administration can't extend the moratorium on loan repayments again. The moratorium was put in place under the Trump administration in March 2020. It's gotten extended numerous times. Now that'll end as of the end of August. This doesn't affect the student loan cancellation plan, though. The Supreme Court is still considering whether that can go forward. We're waiting for an answer for there.
All right. Marketplace's Nova Sappho, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
The Supreme Court has ruled that a concrete company in Washington can sue a labor union for a strike that damaged some of the company's product. The dispute started in 2017 when cement truck drivers walked off the job in protest. Their trucks, at that point fully loaded with wet concrete, had to be emptied, and all the concrete was lost. The decision was 8-1, with Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson dissenting. If you thought we have been on a wild ride with inflation the past couple years, that is nothing compared to what Argentina has been dealing with. Prices have more than doubled in a year. Its central bank, just like our Fed, has had to raise interest rates to fight that inflation. Argentinian interest rates are now at nearly 100%. This is having big consequences for people who are just trying to live their lives and get by. The BBC's Leanna Byrne joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
So Argentina is no stranger to inflation, but this seems really bad. What exactly is going on there?
Yeah, it is really bad. I mean, it's got a troubled economic history. In the 80s, it had hyperinflation. 20 years ago, the country defaulted on its debt. The thing is, it's still South America's second largest economy. It's got a huge agricultural sector, huge tourism sector, and lots of natural resources. But despite all of that, it almost has no access to international capital because it's got a bad rep. And right now, it's really dependent on a multi-billion dollar International Monetary Fund bailout, which comes with conditions to cut spending.
Well, what is it like to live through something like this for regular people?
It's pretty tough for regular people there. Official figures say that 40% are living in poverty. A particular pressure point is food. Prices are up by 41% since January this year. So let's hear from Gabriel now. He owns his apartment and he considers himself middle class, but he's cutting back on what he eats.
Sometimes I say I'm going to probably have a good meal at lunchtime and then some biscuits before I go to bed, rather than having lunch and proper dinner. And then everything is going up. So I do get quite worried because that means I will have to sell my apartment and go somewhere else. But the problem is, at the moment, nobody's got money to buy an apartment.
That does sound very difficult. What ultimately is behind Argentina's current economic problems?
I mean, it's kind of a complex picture, but to break it down, inflation has been particularly high since the economic crisis 5 years ago. The peso lost value, and since the Fed is raising interest rates, It's made its dollar debts and commodities a lot more expensive. Also, a string of the worst droughts for years have hit crop yields. And that means the revenues government gets from taxing grain exports are down. The government has actually been printing money. Here's someone with far more qualifications on this subject, economist Freddie Thompson.
Governments that systematically spend more than they're collecting taxes have to find ways how to pay for that difference. And that's either borrowing until the debt is unpayable and then the country defaults, or it's printing pesos until the peso becomes worthless, which is what we're seeing today.
So, yeah, as we can hear, Argentina is really stuck between kind of an economic rock and a hard place on this one.
All right. The BBC's Leanna Byrne. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
This week, the Marketplace Morning Report team premiered Finding Your Place, a special series on homelessness with new thinking on how to help people with nowhere to live. Our team took a look at the push to criminalize homelessness and spoke to people trying to hold down a job while looking for permanent housing and more. Here is a bit of that reporting.
On any given night in the United States, more than 580,000 people are homeless.
I was able to start thinking about what I needed to do without worrying about what's around me or who's going to hurt me.
When housing is scarce, it's not available, and it's very expensive, if you're vulnerable in any way, you're far more likely to experience homelessness.
All of the stories related to finding your place are on our website, marketplace.org. Our executive producer is Kelly Silvera. Our digital producer is Jarrett Dang. Our engineers are Jessen Dueler, Nick Esposito, and Jake Cherry. And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.